Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Columbus, Ohio, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. I invite you to open your heart and mind as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast again today. We're going to be sharing with you on a subject called The Truth About Christmas. Now, as we share this, I'm sure this is going to step on some people's religious toes, but you know, the Bible says that we are to preach the truth, and we are to declare the whole counsel of God, so we need to preach the truth about this subject as well. Christmas is the most popular holiday in the world today. Nearly all the nations of the world celebrate Christmas. The date of Christmas Day, of course, is December 25th. It is considered by many the day of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, we need to look at whether or not this is true. We need to look at the historical roots of this and the biblical account of the birth of Jesus to obtain information that would reveal the time of year when Jesus was born. We're also going to be looking at the modern customs of Christmas to see what they really represent. First of all, the word Christmas comes from a word, Christus Mass, which means Christ's Mass. It was originally a Mass for Christ. In the 11th century, it was called Christus Mass, later became Christ's Mass, and eventually was shortened to Christmas. This Mass for Christ was first started by the Roman Catholic Church in the early 4th century. It was at this time that the Roman Emperor Constantine, he was converted to Christianity. And following his conversion, he made Christianity the state religion in 313 A.D. under the Roman Catholic Church. In order to please the Roman pagans and persuade them to join the Roman Catholic Church, many pagan customs were brought into the church. This merger of Christianity and paganism had brought a great increase in the number of adherents to Christianity. And one of the most important pagan customs which they had was merged with the church was the observance of the Roman midwinter feast called Saturnalia. Saturnalia was the winter solstice when the days began to lengthen and the sun would climb higher in the sky. And one of the purposes of the Saturnalia was a tribute to Saturn, who is the god of agriculture, in order to bring plenty in the next harvest. It was paganism and worship of false gods and idolatry. In the Saturnalia, the pagans celebrated the return of the sun and the birthday of the sun god Sol, also known as Mithra. And this Saturnalia celebration was from December 17th to January 6th. And during this period, the Mithraic religion of Persia celebrated the birth of the unconquered sun. And this date of the birthday was December 25th. So in order to satisfy these pagans for their birth of the unconquered sun that they had been involved in, the Roman Catholic Church appointed December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ to coincide with the Mithraic celebration of the birthday of the unconquered sun. So December 25th became the day of a Mass for Christ. Jesus became as the unconquered sun to the many pagans. In 320 A.D., Julius I, the Bishop of Rome, officially established this Mass for Christ on December 25th as a feast of the Church. And by 336 A.D., this Christian festival of a Mass for Christ was regularly celebrated in Rome. Now, was Christmas ever celebrated by the Church during the first three centuries? The answer is no. No such celebration of Christmas was ever heard of among Christians until the Roman Catholic Church instituted the observance. Well, what does the Bible say about celebrating the birthday of Jesus? Well, there's not a word in the Scriptures about remembering or celebrating His birthday. Neither is there any Scripture that declares the exact date of His birth. This is significant because the Bible is very explicit about what should be remembered and what should be observed. You know, certainly the Bible would declare unto us the exact date of Jesus' birth if we were to celebrate it. As you look at the Old Testament, you see the Old Testament feasts, and they were spelled out very clearly in the Word of God. Exact dates were given of each feast, along with clear instructions concerning their observance. If Christians were to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the Word of God certainly would have revealed the exact date of when it was. It would also command us to celebrate it and give us specific instructions on how to celebrate it. You know, God doesn't leave anything out in the Word. But the Word of God does not instruct us to remember this birthday. Instead, what does it instruct us to do? It instructs us to remember His death and resurrection. In fact, we are directed to partake of communion in remembrance of what He did for us when His body was broken and His blood shed to bring into being the new covenant. Now, isn't it odd that the Bible says nothing about celebrating the birthday of Jesus, and yet most all Christians celebrate Christmas on the supposed birthday of this of Jesus' birthday on December 25th? You know, the amazing thing is that the world celebrates it too. You know, everybody thinks this is the birthday of Jesus, and most Christians celebrate it. True followers of Jesus are hated by the world, according to the words of Jesus, John 15:19. John 15:19 says, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Well, all Christians are hated by the world. Then why do worldly people celebrate his birthday with us? You know, they should hate the celebration of Christmas because they have rejected Jesus Christ. But the truth is that more non-Christians celebrate Christmas throughout the world than Christians. Yet Christians go along and celebrate this as well. Now, we've already seen that December 25th is the pagan birthday of the unconquered sun. And let's look at the fact in the Bible here to see, is December 25th, or around that time, could that be the birthday of Jesus Christ? And this is an important thing for us to look at and determine. Now, from the Word of God, we can definitely determine the specific time of year of the birth of Jesus. How can we do that? This is seen when we determine the time when Elizabeth conceived John the Baptist. You know, you cannot determine the specific date because it wasn't given in the Word of God, obviously. However, we will see that the birth of Jesus did not occur in the month of December. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 24. It's talking about Elizabeth conceiving. It says, "Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." In verse 36, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So we see that Elizabeth conceived John the Baptist and was in her sixth month of pregnancy when Gabriel visited Mary to inform her that she would become pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. Well, Jesus received the word of the angel. In verse 38 of Luke 1, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Well, when that happened, the Holy Spirit then came and overshadowed her, and Jesus was conceived. Well, what did Mary do then? Mary then arose and went to the house of Zacharias with haste and saluted Elizabeth. As soon as this happened, she went directly to Elizabeth's house. As in verse 39 of Luke 1, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So here the Holy Spirit had overshadowed her, and immediately it said with haste. She didn't waste time. With haste she went directly into that house of Zechariah. So it was just a few days after that that she was there with Elizabeth. Now at this time Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and Mary had just become pregnant. Thus from the time of Elizabeth's conception of John the Baptist until the birth of Jesus, that was about 15 months, because 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy plus 9 months for Jesus would be 15 months. So we see that 15 months from the time of John the Baptist's conception would have been the time of the birth of Jesus. Now we know that Elizabeth's pregnancy lasted a full 9 months, if you think it was maybe premature or something. The reason we know is Luke 1, verse 56 and 57 says that Mary abode with her about 3 months. That would be 6 plus 3 would be 9. And returned to her own house. And now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, indicating that she went her full term, and she brought forth a son. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 more months. That totaled up 9 months. and the full time had come. We also know that Mary carried Jesus for a full term in Luke 2:6. It says it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The days were accomplished, that meant they were fulfilled. So we see that 15 months elapsed from the time of Jesus' conception till the time of the birth of Jesus. Now, if we could determine the time of Elizabeth's conception, we'd know the time of the birth of Jesus. Can we determine the time of Elizabeth's conception? And the answer is yes. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and his name was Elizabeth. It came to pass while he, talking about Zacharias, executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And the angel said unto him, Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. Well, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was a priest of the course of Abia. Now, in Israel, all the priests were divided into 24 lots or orders of courses, corresponding to the 24 geographical divisions of the nation. The 24 lots would occupy the office of the priest consecutively throughout the year. Now, each lot ministered a half month at a time. Thus, 24 lots of one half month would cover an entire year. 24 times one half would be 12 months of the year. Zacharias presented himself for his tour of service at the temple regularly year after year, and each order of course rotated the service at a set time during the year. Now, during Zacharias' tour of service, when Gabriel appeared to him, told him that God had heard his prayer and that he would have a son, he'd call his name John, we see from the Talmud and other Jewish sources the division of Abiah served in the temple during the second half of the fourth month of the Jewish calendar. The second half of the fourth month of the Jewish calendar. Now, this is also confirmed in 1 Chronicles 24, where it talks about the divisions of the sons of Aaron, saying they were divided by lot, and it says the eighth lot, the eighth was Abijah. Abiah in the New Testament is the same as Abijah in the Old Testament. And this is in 1 Chronicles 24, verse 10. So the eighth lot was the order of course for Abijah or Abiah. Zacharias, as priest of the order of Abiah, served in the eighth course, which was the second half of the fourth month of the Jewish calendar. The fourth month of the Jewish calendar corresponds to our months of the last part of June and the first part of July. So the second half of the fourth month would correspond to the first part of our month July. Thus, Zacharias would have finished his course around the middle of our month July. To see when Elizabeth conceived, then, of course, we see in Luke 1:23-24, it came to pass as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Otherwise, when he finished this thing around the middle of July, he departed to his house, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. So in a few days after that, then the conception occurred. So we see that Elizabeth conceived right after Zacharias' course of ministry, and this would have been the latter part of the month July. Now, we've already determined that the birth of Jesus was 15 months after the conception of John the Baptist. 15 months from the latter part of July brings us to the latter part of October. That was the actual time of the birth of Jesus, latter part of October, or certainly by November 1st. So we see that Jesus was not born in the latter part of December on December 25th. He was born in the latter part of October. And this is an important point to realize. Now, we've begun this today. We're going to continue on this subject in the broadcast tomorrow. I hope you'll listen and you'll receive truth about Christmas. We'll see you then. God bless you. I trust that you've enjoyed the teaching today and have learned how to apply it in your life. As you have received the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has written it in your heart and mind and taught you the ways of spiritual reality. It is now your responsibility to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. As you continue to do the Word of God diligently, you will become a true disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May God bless you as you are a hearer and a doer of the Word of God.